Well, if you turn in your Bibles with me, I believe everybody's ready back there. I was actually waiting for my iPad to come online here so I can get my notes and be ready. Praise God. All right, let's go to our scripture. I'm really happy for the people who've been giving comments about what they're getting from the program. And it's good to hear comments from how people are getting impacted by the Word of God, and we need to hear more and more people. You know, if you have had any program that impacted you at Faith City Church or through Faith City Church and Spirit Alive are partners working together. We have partners that serve and give, and so if you have any comments about it, put it online so that people will know what's going on. We need to bring out the Word of Faith. You're helping me personally. You're helping Spirit Alive as an organization. You're helping the church that you're impacted by the Word of God that's being brought here, the value of the Word of God. If you can do that, I appreciate it. Our partners and friends and those that are around the area who are actually wanting to hear the Word of God and actually need real people who are being impacted by the Word. Not just, as my wife said, not just watching Kenneth Copeland, you know, he's in the South and in all that place, in different ones, you know. But right here in the North, we have the Word of God just as much as anywhere else, and so we value that. And by the way, I'm just happy to report that I've been working with Pastor Glenn, and I just finished writing out some statements and different things for the people that need to hear about us we're actually finalizing the last of the deal to purchase the brand new building, and so we'll be having a celebration in Geraldton in our brand new building. Praise God! So we want to invite people and friends and family to come and enjoy that time with us soon in the new year. We're not sure exactly when, but soon enough, you will be hearing more about the new building. So, anyways, we'll be ready for that roads to be opening to the north. I believe there'll be an impact because of all the companies that are moving in there and the businesses that'll be there, and the church is going to grow, and because of the city will grow, Geraldton will grow, and different things happening with the gold mine and all the other kind of things that's happening in the area. So pray for that. Pray that things will go well. Believe with us that everything will go well, and we'll see a greater impact on the church there. And so Pastor Ken and I drove for 5.5 years every week. I could not believe it. Yesterday I asked my wife, did we do it every week or monthly? He said, no, you went for 1 week once. My kids were actually in high school. One of my girls was she was in the junior high, and maybe that time both the girls were younger, and we started to travel, because I remember it, because I called my wife and said, how are the girls doing, and so on. And so time has gone by, and for 5.5 years, Pastor Steve, Ken and I traveled every week, and for 5.5 years. And it was impacting for us, our lives, driving down that road. Whether it's rain or shine, whether we were tired, we went because we were committed. We had to show people that we were committed to them. We were committed to raise this church up and to do what we were supposed to do. We didn't have, it wasn't without any kind of opposition. And so, you know, different things can hinder you. And so we went, and so now Pastor Glenn and them have been there for how long now? Almost 10 years. So that's quite a while, and so things can happen. And I was thinking to myself, excuse me, how quickly the year has gone for me from this summer to now. And it's like half a year is gone already. And then for this summer, it's going to be another year. So, you know, you have different times of years. And so time has gone real by fast so quickly. And so thank God it's a new year, a brand new year. We can start our year every day. You can start again. If your year went bad, Start again today. Amen. All right, you got your Bibles, and go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. We started a message on Wednesday, and this is part two. This will be the better part, because you're here. And so we're trying to increase our Wednesday services. Hello! Some of you are coming out and encouraging other people. We're getting close to 100 people for a Wednesday midweek service. That's not bad for Wednesday night. For a cold night, it was like we coming to church on Sunday from our home. We don't live too far away here. We met several snowmen on the way. At least they appeared to be snowmen, covered in snow. And they said they were too cold to stay outside. So it was very cold. So I want you to come to church Wednesday. Okay, I want you to come to church. I want you to make it a priority. Otherwise, your time will be, somebody else will take it. So make a priority to come to church. Some of you have done that for years. And you've been better off. You would have been dead by now. If you didn't come to church, you would have been broke. You would have lost your wife. You would have died. Some of you needed to be here. You need a double dose. So bring your friend, bring your family. It's not a waste of time. Don't let the devil tell you it's a waste of time. Bring your little children before it's too late. Bring them when they're small. Get them used to coming into church. And they'll come on their own sooner or later. Okay, just bring them anyway. If they come screaming and kicking, you bring them anyway. And you have to teach them about church. Give them a habit. Children need routine. Children need consistency. And if you bring them once in a while, you know, it's too cold, you know, grandma's in town. Just bring them. Bring grandma and all. Praise God. Because they're going to live longer than grandma. They need to come to church. Amen? And so things happen Wednesday night that doesn't happen on Sundays. So enjoy the company of your family. I was at the funeral this week. Friday was the young man who passed away. Y'all know Joanne Mindewagen, LaBelle Talgijic. She had three names. And she passed away a few months back. How many remember her? You know who I'm talking about? Some of you are new to the church. Well, she passed away on the road she was coming to town to pick up her husband and going back to Ginugiming First Nation, and she had an accident. She was going to turn right, going east. She was going to turn right off the highway. She was hit by a transport truck behind her. It hit her in the back, and she went into the other road and lane and died instantly. And so we had a funeral, and there was things going on. So her young grandchild died last week, and so the funeral was this week, that Friday. And so things can be complicated when someone dies. People get angry. People fight. And I don't know, this year I've been to different funerals. People have been fighting, families have been fighting about what kind of religion they're going to have, or how they're going to have their funeral, and where they're going to bury them. What kind of clothes are you going to wear? Someone phoned me even last week. Pastor Ken and I, we buried... I had a suit that I gave Pastor Ken, and he wasn't wearing that one suit, and I asked different ones. That was this fellow who had passed away had lost weight and become smaller. So someone asked me if I could use one of my suits. Well, I said, I have very skinny suits. I can't fit them into myself. And so I asked Pastor Ken if he had suits. He said, I might check around. He wasn't sure if he'd want to give up a suit. No. And I asked my brother, my cousin, Ed, and he was going to check around. But finally, we couldn't wait that long, so we found Pastor Ken's suit, which was my suit. I didn't want to give my suit that was in my closet because I didn't want him to jump out of the coffin. during the service. No, I'm just kidding. And so anyway, anointing is on that suit. You remember the story about Elisha? You know, they put the man down, the dead man, and Elisha's bones touched his bones, and he revived, stood on his feet. So anyway, when we put that suit on that fellow, he didn't jump up, but he got a brand new suit. And so I was telling somebody, well, why are you going to put on a suit on him? He never wore no suit all his life. So when you die, wear your nice clothes, whatever you have in your home, instead of a suit. Why do you have to wear a suit? Nobody's going to see you in that box afterwards. So anyway, I mean, that's, you know, you have to talk about stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about? Lorna, don't wear a new suit. Just wear an old jacket. Yeah. Amen. So anyway, we different funerals I've gone to, people fighting. You know, and it's a time of mourning, but it's hard when people are fighting. You know, praise God, we need to pray for families. You know, part of when someone dies, part of that, there's a grieving stage. And one of them is anger. One of the stages is anger. You're mad at everybody. You're mad at one another. So that's normal. But some of it is not normal. It goes pretty bad. So anyway, there's no need to say any more about that. But pray for your pastors, man, I tell you. We've gone through different things. I've seen so many conflicts with demonic spirits over the last months with different things. People have been affected by demon spirits calling and wanted to, you know, be exorcised. Praise God. Does anybody need exorcism here today? I'm available after from 5 to 7 tonight. Let's go ahead and stand up for a prayer. Praise God. Change the mood here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Say, thank God I'm free. Say, thank God I'm born again. My spirit is soaring with the heights of Jesus. I'm free from every influence. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm at peace. I'm going to hear something good. It's going to change my life. I'm going to be better off after this service because of the word given in my life. Some things I'll hear. I'm going to water the seed that's in me already. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be fruitful and multiply and be useful for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, I pray for everybody else that might hear this message, that they will also benefit and grow from this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Moving forward in the plan of God for 2020. I want to talk about three things that will help you move ahead. The text is Philippians 3:13, New Living. It says here, no, dear brothers and sisters, have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Our scripture tells us, you know, we're never arrived. We never arrive. We're always in the process of change. Always in the process of growth, always progressing. He said, I have not achieved it or have not arrived, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Turn to your neighbor and say, forget the past. And the second thing he says there, looking forward. Look to your other neighbor and say, look forward. So we need to do two things this morning. We need to forget the past. The past is gone, 2019, and all is gone. 2020, today, we look forward for the good things that are happening. As an introduction, we said that we've all had hard times. Some people have a harder time moving ahead to better things in life. And you'll never succeed if you want to remain the same. It's difficult to transition to the next phase or the next level successfully unless you know God. Unless you know God has a better plan. And you must always understand that God has a better plan. And the scriptures verify it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I have a good plan for you. And we read earlier, Ephesians 2:10 says, God has a good life for you ahead. And so we have to put our faith in that God has a plan. And maybe your plan, the plan that you're living, has been your plan. It hasn't worked out that well. Unless you know God has a better plan, you'll have faith to look ahead. You have to be willing to leave your past in order to move forward with confidence. You can't be with confidence if you don't know that God has a plan for you. We had said that according to Hebrews 11:3, the King James Version, by faith Abraham. You have to understand what it means by faith. What does the word by faith mean? When he was called to go out to a place which he should go after, received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. When we're walking by faith and trusting the plan of God, we don't know all the details. You will not know all the details of what's going to happen next. You just know that something good is going to happen. Romans 4:20 in the King James says, it's talking about the same man Abraham. He says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Remember Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham. Romans 4:20 says, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let's go ahead and read Romans 4:16 and 17 together. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to them only which is of the law. It's talking about the people back there, Abraham's people, but also to the which is of faith of Abraham. That's talking about us, who is the father of us all. See, there is the natural seed, the Israelites. They're all, in the same people there. But we're also by faith, we're also engrafted in to that family. He says there, who is the father of us all? As it is written, I have made thee. Notice that God speaks in the past tense. He speaks of the past tense as now. The future tense as now. He said, I have made thee a father of many nations. So when God speaks to you, in the scriptures he's talking to you, when you read the word, it says there's no time in the spiritual realm. Everything is now. That's why faith is now. So faith is always now. Everybody say faith. Is now. Say, if it's not faith, it was never now. when someone says, I'm believing by faith something, I say, when you prayed with somebody, they want to receive healing, so you prayed with them and you use faith to pray for them, and they don't feel anything, they don't have any kind of manifestation, so you just pray by faith. You say, thank God, I pray with you right now. And you ask them, you look at them, you say, did you receive? You say, well, I hope so. Well, they didn't receive it. You say, well, thank God, yes, I did by faith. What do you mean? Well, according to the word of God. But Jesus stripes, I'm healed. I'm agreeing on that. I'm believing that. Not because I felt something. I felt like a twitch in my back, a warmth or something. As soon as he's praying. No, it's by faith. You don't have to feel anything. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't have to feel anything. Say, it's a faith thing. Say, you don't have to see anything. It's a faith thing. So you have to believe that way. That's the way faith works. It's according to the word. As it is written, verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Little check on my King James Version says, before him, it says, the King James says, like unto God. Abraham acted like God. Whom he believed. You know, it says here, what does it say again? Before him whom he believed. In other words, like unto God. Abraham acted like God. You and I, by faith, have to act like God. We have to believe in our own words when we speak that it's going to come to pass. Long as we speak God's word over our lives. Just as you're sitting here right now, any promise of God can come into manifestation if you speak the word over yourself. Because God's word will never come back void. Jeremiah 1 and 12 says he doesn't come back empty. It will perfect that which concerns you. So if any area of your life that you want to change, speak the word of God over it. See, you don't have to pray over everything. You have to speak. God wants you to speak over your own life. Glory to God. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning without my shirt. I said, look at that slim man. Look at that rippling muscles. Amen? Don't laugh at me. I mean, you look at me, you have to look at your own body. Amen? He said, look at that shape in that guy, man. Praise God. I know Max does it. Praise God. He looks at himself and he sees wonderful things there. Amen. Even God, who quickeneth the dead, is what God does, and calls those things which be not as though they were. You have to call your future just like God said it is. It's a good future. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a good plan. They said there's a good plan. The plan's coming to manifestation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says it's a good plan. It's a good life. I got a good life coming. Good life, good things happening. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 and 29. Galatians 3, 7 and 29. Know ye therefore they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So children act like their parents. Ever notice that? Your children act. I was telling people yesterday, I look at myself. I went to, we did a thing yesterday. There's a thing on chat. What's it? Chat? What's that little, what is that little icon we got in there? Snapchat? Anybody got Snapchat? I have that Snapchat on my thing here. I took a picture. And there's a thing on there you can change your what you look like, you know. Like an old man, I changed myself. I said, look, honey, I look like my dad. And she says, well, you do, but you do have some differences. So anyway, you know, you look like your dad, your mom. Some people don't like to hear that, but you do. So verse 29 says, and if you be Christ's, how many of you are Christ? Lift your hand, say, I'm of Christ. Amen. So if you're Christ, here's the promise. You're Abraham's seed. That's by faith. You belong in the same category as Abraham. Abraham calls those things as being as though they were just like God. And so you're of the same seed, and you call those things into manifestation. You're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, whatever God said to Abraham belongs to you, whether or not you have it or not, say it. Even though it's not in your life. Praise God. Say, thank God I'm healed. So you have to say that. Thank God I'm rich. Say, I'm rich. Thank God I have favor. Say, the door is wide open for me. Say, I don't have any trouble with the devil. Say, sickness is far from me. Say, everything I do succeeds. Say, thank God I have peace in my life. Say, sickness is far from me. He didn't say that all the time. Driving down the road to work tomorrow morning, he said, thank God, it's going to be a great week. I'm expecting great things to happen. Projects are going to be completed. Praise God. Okay. So he said, we have to take a step of faith. Your first general move in anything is to take a step of faith. God will not always give you the whole picture or the plan. He simply wants your obedience. We see this in the life of Abraham. It says over here, Hebrews 11 and verse 8, New Living Translation says this. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when he called him to leave home, to go to another land, that God would give him as his inheritance. That God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. By faith. See, you don't know all the details, but you know something's going to happen if you take a step of faith. Don't be afraid to make a wrong step if you're going to step out in faith. God will always help you and stir you back in the right place. I remember very times when I was sowing seed, like, you know, years ago when I was sowing seed, you know, like $1,000 or something, and to me it was huge to give $1,000. It's still huge to give $1,000. And, you know, especially when you don't have very much, and I was sowing it, and very often the devil would hound me after I gave that seed, and he would say, you made a mistake. And he would bother me, and it would affect me. It would affect my mind. And the Lord spoke to me, said, anytime you do anything for me, you did it unto me, it's never a mistake. I'll always repay you back. So don't feel put off if you're giving something and you do something, you're doing it as unto the Lord. It helps you. It helps your faith. So in transitions, in terms of transitions this year, people are making transitions from jobs and maybe relocating in different from part of town, or you're making changes in your life. The word transition means a movement, a passage, or a change from one position to another. In the book of Proverbs, it says, or at least Ecclesiastes, it says in your Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 1, the New Living, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything there is a season. I don't know what season you're in. I know I've gone through a rough season the last few years, physically, in my family. I went through different things with ministry, different seasons. And it's like doesn't seem like I was ever going to come out of it. And you feel like, you know, you come to church, you know, you're doing it by faith. And nothing, it doesn't seem to, you don't have anything to look forward to, but in your mind, it looks awful. I don't know what season you're in, but God tells us there's a season. Sometimes of tough time, maybe you've sown seed that caused your season to be rough. Maybe the devil just come by here and he's challenged you in different areas. But you got to remain strong. It says here, for everything, there is a season. A time for every activity under heaven. Some have difficulty transitioning because they want a full picture of their future, especially when it comes to following God's plan for their lives or their ministry. In order to face the unknown of the future, we need to have confidence in God's word so we can move into the next phase. And the only way you can have confidence in the next phase is to go to the Word of God. Go to God's Word and see what it says. Confidence comes from knowing God, knowing His Word, knowing that His Word is sure, that His promises are real, and hanging on to that Word and trusting that Word, embracing it, and expecting that Word to work in your life. So thank God for confidence. Here's what the Apostle John said in John chapter 15, talking about prayer, verses 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him if we, you know, if we ask anything according to His will. So confidence, John was talking about that confidence coming came from knowing the will of God. Can we get that scripture up there? 1 John chapter 5. I don't have it in my notes. I know I didn't give you that. But you have to go by the Holy Ghost, right? John 14, chapter 5, verses 14, 15. Give me King James. It helps. This is a better version of it. This is the most accurate translation in the Bible. The accurate translation in the Bible. So, because if you take the paraphrase, you're not getting the accurate word. But sometimes you can take the paraphrase if you know the actual translation. So that's why I want people to study in the King James. So you can always go back to it. And because sometimes the paraphrases or the translations are paraphrased, they're not accurate. Okay? So this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. We're talking about our future, remember? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that's in God. That if we ask anything according to His will. See, confidence comes from knowing His will. His word, the Bible or Scripture, is the will of God. And so when you know the will of God, you have confidence. So if we ask anything according to the will, He hears us. So you're not asking out of your own mentality or your own knowledge. You're acting in concert with His will. So there's confidence there. And so we see here, in Hebrews 11, it talks about faith. Can we go to Hebrews 11, verse 1? I think it's the Amplified version or the Classical version. You want to see something? Because faith has to do with confidence. Being confident of something. And you can only be confident if you know. See, there's a lot of people. I was walking down in Toronto on Monday and Tuesday. I was in Toronto. Y'all know I was in Toronto? Okay, I went to a hockey game. Okay, that's not a sin. Only if you're a Boston fan. So my sister-in-law says, here's $1,000. Can you take your brother to the hockey game? Ooh, yes, sir. In fact, I want to tell you something. There's a lady in this room gave me $1,000 just before Christmas. And said, Pastor, I put it in my account. And I said, okay, here, just, I don't know what I'm going to do with this money. But with that $1,000 and another $1,000 came in from my brother, we went to Toronto. And thank you, whoever gave that money in here. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But somebody gave me that money. And I enjoyed every minute of being with my brother. We got on the plane there. He came to Thunder Bay here. We flew to Toronto. We stayed in a wonderful hotel. My wife booked me in a nice hotel. And, we walked around. We were going to go. We said, okay, my brother, I'm acting like I knew everything. I'm sophisticated. So we stayed close, near downtown area, beside the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I said, okay, now I'm the city guy. He's from the bush. I said, you better listen to me. You won't get lost. So I said, okay, we're going to go to the Hockey Hall of Shame. And the maps thing there? GPS, it says, okay, so it's 5 minutes away. Oh, that's easy. I said, let's do it. We're going to walk there, and we're going to enjoy all our time there. So I told my brother, we put that in, and we come out the door. It says, turn left, so we turn left. So we walked. An hour and a half later, we're almost in Aurelia. Walking that road, the guy says, my brother said, this is, you know why we stopped? The only reason why we stopped, my brother had sore legs and we were going up a grade and he was like staggering around. He said, this can't be the way. I said, oh no, this got to be the way. I'm entrusting this. It'll take us there. Through my manliness, stupidity, I said, we're going to follow this. So anyway, the guy said, you know, you're about half an hour away. Where are you supposed to be? So we walked back. And then so we kept walking back. The guy said, go back this way. So we walked back. And all of a sudden, we're back at our hotel. I said, we're back at the hotel. An hour and a half later. So he said, this is just five minutes. So we walked. And sure enough, it was 4 minutes. If you walk through the back. So you can tell, but the children of Israel spent 40 years had the same mentality. Anyways, so we went to bed. We had to have a nap. I couldn't sleep because I was so tired because I might miss. I said, we better set the alarm. We might miss out here. Anyway, thank God. Thank God for people who give, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had that, enjoyed that wonderful time. But thank you for giving, and we enjoyed our time. Just back to reality. So God, you know, you might not know everything right away. Here's this faith guy getting lost in a city. So we have to take that step of faith. We might not know everything. But the next thing you need is to be confident. You need to be committed. God wants us all to be committed to his plan so that we as a church can work together completing the purposes, his purposes. The Apostle Paul demonstrated his commitment to follow God's plan when he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So he could say that at the end of his life. You and I need to be able to say, you know what? I lived a good life. I did everything I know to do to follow the plan of God. I might have had some rough times, but I'm ready to go. I don't have any regrets to leave this world. I'm ready to go home. And I want us all to feel that way. You know, we don't want to escape. So moving ahead requires a reliance upon God for everything that we need. He'll never lead us where he can't keep us. Where's Pastor Dave? Dave, God will never leave you where he can't keep you. Amen? I mean, he just lost his job. He was fired. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't fired. No. There was a shortage of whatever cars to come into town. Something happened there. But anyway, he never leads us where he can't keep us. His vision for our lives gives us the provision. If you're doing God's vision, he will provide. So Paul said he finished his course. He was ready to leave this earth because he had successfully completed all the transitions that he had to go through. All the changes, all the levels. Moving out of a difficult season can be hard sometimes. Apostle Paul was not crying about his past mistakes and failures because he stayed faithful to the plan of God. In Acts chapter 20, 24, somebody said to us one time, he says that, you know, when we're having a difficult time, when going through different things, if you've gone through failures or hard times, he says, the things you cry about today, you laugh about tomorrow. Now, when I was walking the street for an hour and a half, I wasn't laughing. But we sure had a good laugh for 2 days after that. Okay, so in life, it might not be easy all the time. But you'll laugh about it tomorrow. Remember that when you're having a hard time. Now the Lord said to Samuel, and over here, in 1 Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. God's telling some of you, listen, you need to stop mourning. Stop feeling bad about what's going on, the past. He said, I've rejected him. He's talking about Saul as king. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected him as one of his sons to be my king. God wanted Samuel to move on to the next phase of his assignment. He had to leave this one season that he had spent with Saul in order to enter a new season that he is going to spend with King David. Sometimes we become so emotional about our past, we can't move ahead. We can't deal with our past. We can't deal with our past mistakes and failures and disappointments sometimes. And because we do, we hinder God from working in our lives because we're still hanging on to the past. God wants us to move on to the next phase. Here, very quickly, here's three things you need to do. First of all, your relationships with people are so important. Your relationships with your work, your school, or businesses, whatever you have, sometimes you go through different things that people disappoint you. People are still hanging on to hurts, grudges, resentments, failures of everybody else that cause them pain. The first thing you need to do is learn to forgive if you're going to move successfully in 2020. We can't be in bondage to our hurts. You can't be in bondage to your resentments, your grudges. Psychologist tells us that holding on to unforgiveness keeps us in chains. Letting go frees you to move ahead. You got to be willing to let it go. Forgiveness means letting go. It says here, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another. It's hard naturally to be kind to someone when you have grudges against them. It's hard to be kind to someone when you're bitter. Are you listening to me? But God says you can do it. That you can be kind when you've been bitter against someone. That you can be kind to someone when you have a grudge against them. And you can only do this by faith. You can't do this emotionally by yourself. You have to use God's love in you that's stronger than your human side of your life. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Forgiveness does not depend on our emotional side of our life. It depends on our faith, our spirit. Forgiveness is an act of faith. Second thing we need to do is learn to forget the past. Many hold on or held back by either the bitter past or the good old days of the past. They can't seem to cross over the bridge onto the from the old to the new. We must learn to leave it all behind, good and bad. We can't move into the future lugging a bunch of old baggage with us. Paul learned this valuable lesson when he said this over in Philippians 3:13, as he said, we read earlier. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before. God will not erase your memories. You have to learn how to deal with your memories through renewing of your mind in God's Word. We have to make a choice to leave the past behind and focus on what God has for us in the future. Everybody say, I have a good future. The last thing, and we mentioned this earlier, we have to learn to walk by faith. The Bible says here, walking by faith means we are walking by principles. We walk by principles, not by circumstances or emotions. We have to say, this is the right thing to do. This is the right way to go, because it's the right thing according to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, or we walk by the Word of God, not by sight, or not by circumstances. Many people are holding on to circumstances, and so they can't make a decision because circumstances from their past keeps them from going ahead, because they don't have the promise of God before them. They got the circumstances of the past before them, so they can't make that move. We walk by faith. We govern our lives by the Word of God. We don't walk by our own opinions or other people's opinions or other people's ideas or our ideas. We don't walk by what our friends think or what the majority thinks. We walk by the principle of God's Word. We have to ask ourselves many times, what does God's Word say about my situation? Then we can act accordingly. Living by faith is the only way we can move forward with God's plan. Following God into uncharted territories of your life is not always easy, but it's well worth it when we follow God. It's worth every risk that you take jumping into the plan of God. As you leave the uncomfortableness or the comfort of your familiarity behind, you will transition to the exciting plan of God for your life, and you can share Paul's triumphant words when he said this, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. Thank God for His Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to thank you today for your goodness and your mercy, your grace. Thank you for all the things that you do for us. Thank you, Lord God. Would you please lift that hand and bless God? Thank Him for the plan that He has for you. It's a good plan. It's a wonderful plan. It's a plan that God has made many, many years ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we forgive. We forgive everything. Of all the things. We forgive our enemies. Or even our friends or people. We even forgive ourselves. Thank you. So we say, thank God, we're going to let it go. And so, Father, we also are going to forget it. We're going to forget the past. It's gone. We're going to focus on what lies ahead. And we're going to take that step of faith today and make that move. Maybe it's a small move. Maybe it's just a small thing that we're going to do, but we're going to do it. Thank you for it. We give you praise, Lord, for giving us a chance, a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. You never stop giving. Thank you. We exist today because of you. We thank you that we dedicate our lives, we rededicate our lives to you, to your plan, what you want us to do. Thank you. With every eye closed, every head bowed, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you need to come back to God. Maybe you've been away from God. Maybe you've been on your own. Maybe you're doing your own thing. God wants you to turn your will to Him, His plan to Him. If that's you right now, with every eye closed for one second, I want to ask you, are you in the plan of God? Are you doing what God wants you to do? If you've been away from God, I want you to lift that hand up way up high so I can see it. Thank you, Lord. I want to follow God. Lift that hand way up high. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you. You say, I want to follow God. I want to walk into His plan. I want to make sure. I want to have that confidence that when I wake up every day, I'm in the plan of God. Thank you, Jesus. If you've never been born again, now is the time to get born again. This is the time when God wants to speak to you. He wants to come in your life. He wants to share this journey, short journey that you have here, but a long one with Him. Thank you, Lord. Let's all just pray this prayer. Say, God in heaven, I thank you sent Jesus, your only begotten Son, to this world to be the Savior of the world. I commit my life to Him. I confess that I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. Come into my life, Lord. Be my Lord and Savior. I'll follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for salvation. By faith, I make this stand to walk with you all the days of my life. For those of you that already made a previous commitment to God, and if you're making a fresh commitment to God, I want you to step up to the front. I want to pray with you. God, you say, well, it's easy to do it when you're back there, but when you're serious about it, you can take that extra step. When you make that extra step, it'll be stronger than ever. You'll be stronger than ever. Get out of your chair and come up here right now. I want to pray with you. Those of you that need to make a recommitment, a stronger dedication to God, just come up here quickly as you can. The Spirit of God is here. You're going to make a tremendous leap into 2020. A tremendous leap, more than ever. You're going to be bolder, stronger, smarter, wiser. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else want to join these people? Come on. You're going to be stronger, committed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just keep coming. There's people coming. In the name of Jesus. There's a phase sometimes God wants you to go, yes, I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to the next level. Come on in. Come on in. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Come on in. Come on in. Everybody, if that's you, God, this is a message for you this morning. Hallelujah.